Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحًا صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Respected and honorable elders and brothers in Islam, as we begin to gear up for the month of Ramadan, one very important aspect that all of us deal with in the month of Ramadan is that we begin to calculate our zakat, and we calculate what is due, what is overdue, what is not due, and there is a great amount of consciousness in so far as the calculation of zakat is concerned, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reward one and all for all of that. But today we want to discuss one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I had begun this talk in one of the nikahs in this masjid. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us a very simple, short formula for the entrance into Jannah. Man akala tayyiban wa amila fi sunnati wa amina an-nasu bawa'iqahu dakhala al-jannah. أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Three very short formulas, three very simple things that we need to do in order to gain Jannat. من أكل طيبا, that person who eats halal. وعمل في سنتي, and he practices my sunnah. وأمن الناس بوائقه, and people are safe from his mischief, his oppression, his corruption. Those three things, دخل الجنة, such a person will enter Jannah. In the month of Ramadan, we abstain from that which is halal for us. Be it in the form of food, be it in the form of our wives. And the important aspect is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent us into this world to earn, to eat, to live. But at the same time Allah ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يَتَمَتَّعُونَ وَيَأْكُلُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ الْأَنْعَامُ وَالنَّارُ مَثْوًا لَهُمْ. With regards to the disbelievers, Allah ta'ala says, يَتَمَتَّعُونَ, they derive pleasure in this earth. وَيَأْكُلُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ الْأَنْعَامُ, and they eat like how animals eat. There is no discretion, indiscriminately. They eat what they want to, where they want to, whether it is of benefit or there is no benefit. And this is not a sign of a believer, this is not a believer in himself. When we go through the ayat of the Quran Sharif, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the permissibility of eating, Ya ayyuhan nas, kulu min at-tayyibat. O people, eat. Kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. Eat the tayyibat. Yas'alunaka maza uhilla lahum. Kul uhilla lakum at-tayyibat. They ask you, O Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is halal for them? Then respond and say, eat tayyibat. Al-yawma uhilla lakum at-tayyibat. On this day I have made at-tayyibat halal for you. Now many people, according to their own discretion, have translated this word tayyibat as something that is wholesome, something that is pure, something that is halal. But according to the vast majority of the mufassirin, they go deep into the meaning of tayyibat, and the conclusion of their findings is, all those foods that will be spiritually enlightening, spiritually nourishing for the soul, so that the believer can make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what Allah ta'ala has made halal for us. What Allah has made haram for us, that is not going to be spiritually elevating, it is not going to be spiritually nourishing, rather it's going to be to our spiritual detriment. Is going to cause a barrier between us and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In the month of Ramadan, many of us, and we should, try to carry out great deeds of piety, excel in all aspects of piety, whether it is the tilawat of the Quran Sharif, nawafil, giving out our zakat, our khairat, our lillah, and all of that. But when we do not leave what is haram, insofar as practices and deeds are concerned, when we do not leave what is haram, insofar as what words and what we hear and what we earn is concerned, then that becomes a barrier between us and Allah Ta'ala. A barrier in creating that link between us and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So here Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, first of all, wants to remove that barrier. That if you want to gain Jannat in the Akhirat, then the one way that you would do it is to create that link with Allah Ta'ala in this world, create that relationship with Allah Ta'ala in this world, and the first aspect that we need to look in is what we put into our bellies. Insofar as halal and haram foods are concerned, the way it was slaughtered, the ingredients that are being used, and this is the time, probably it's all over now, the preparation for Ramadan, but it doesn't. Then they're preparing for Eid, and then they're preparing for Bakrid. But we need to be very, very conscious about the type of ingredients, the kind of food that we are eating. And then from another aspect, our earnings. Not only for the month of Ramadan, or not only in the month of Ramadan, but at all times, how do we earn our wealth, and where do we spend it? That is one of the questions, imperative questions, that we are going to be questioned about on the day of Qiyamah. Now Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has stated, that person that eats the slightest bit of haram, whether he does it intentionally or unintentionally, knowingly, unknowingly, in error, whatever, it is going to have a negative effect on the soul of that person, and hence a negative effect on the ibadat of the person. It is a different thing. Somebody ate something that was haram and he was not conscious about it, then probably there won't be a sin. But if he does it consciously, then obviously he's going to be responsible by Allah Ta'ala. Unconsciously, if a person drinks, takes, consumes some kind of poison, so consciously or unconsciously, it's going to have an effect on the human body. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi writes, one of the first consequences of haram is that the limbs will not be subservient to the heart of that individual. No matter how much that heart would throb for the ibadat of Allah, no matter how much that heart would want to stand up and read a 2 rakats of salat in the darkness of the night or in the light of day, no matter how much that heart would desire to open the Quran Sharif, but there will always be some kind of laxity. The body does not become subservient. And this answers a lot of questions then, why we are unable to carry out good deeds. And then, other ulama have stated that it creates a darkness in the heart of that individual, and it creates ill thoughts, bad thoughts. Shaitan finds such individuals as the greatest of targets. Now when we look into the life of the people of the past, just very, very quickly, we will find sterling personalities of the past. There was one person, Mufti Muzaffar Hussain, Rahmatullah Ali, that from his childhood days, he hailed from the subcontinent, and in his time, in those days, people would cook their gravy in mango, they will use the juice of the mango to cook that gravy, and because the purchase and sale of that mango between the farmer and the keeper, the shopkeeper, was not according to the Shariat. There was a problem in that transaction. Nothing to do with him. If his parents had to buy it from the fruiterer, it would have been a straightforward purchase and sale agreement. So this was an indirect issue with the transaction in itself. But because he had known about it, from his very childhood days, he refrained from eating gravy, and throughout his life, he ate only the bread, the roti. Just on the basis of that. The result of that was that even his family became afraid of inviting him to their homes. Because Allah Ta'ala had created a system now within his body, that if he had partaken of food that was doubtful, leave haram, automatically, he will spew it out, he will vomit it out. That was the system now that Allah Ta'ala had created, whether he knew about it or whether he didn't know about it. On the other hand, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi writes, that person that consumes what is halal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the limbs subservient to the heart of that individual, that now the limbs become willing to fulfill whatever the pious and good desires of that person be, whatever the noble intentions of that person be. He desires a virtuous act, immediately the rest of the body responds. It is like a vitamin injection in that body. And that person then excels in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. The second is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees that a person makes an effort only in halal, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah ali writes, Allah Ta'ala gives barakah in the wealth of such an individual. Now, ulama on this platform and other platforms have expressed on various occasions, barakah is not an abundance of wealth. But barakah is how far that wealth will take you. It's not quantity. It's the quality of that wealth. And that is what is most important to us. That wealth then will be utilized in the ibadat and according to the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So friends, in this month of Shaban, as we approach this great night of Laylatul Bara'ah, and whilst we are going to seek Tawbah and ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, many of us are going through our zakat, and many of us are seeing how much we should pay. It may pay us also to look into the transactions that we deal in all the time, whether they are halal or not halal. The commodities, whether they are halal or not halal. Because at the end of the day, we all want this jannat that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has promised us. Very quickly going to the second aspect, وَعَمِلَ فِي سُنَّتِي, and that person that practices in my sunnah. Now friends, daily, every morning, every evening, all the time. Simple examples, we are putting on our clothes, we are taking off our clothes, we are eating, we are drinking. The simple thing, the simple lesson that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us, in these simple aspects, learn the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and put it into practice. Start with the right when you are adorning, start with the left when you are taking out. Make the niyat of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The other day, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Haq Maqada, atalallahu baqa'a, made what a powerful statement at the time of one nikah. That since we are in lockdown, our nikahs, our ceremonies, our receptions, our everything has become very simple. So it has become simple because of a government law. If only we would make the niyat of the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ عَظَمَ النِّكَاحِ بَرَكَةً أَيْسَرُهُ مَؤُونَةً, that the greatest barakah in a nikah is that one in which the least of expenses are incurred. With regards to sunnah, we would have heard of the great saint of his time, Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, rahimahumullah. At one time, there was a jalsa that was taking place in Deoband, and Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali was invited. He was there, he was the guest. And as he was leaving the jalsa, it was the time for Dhuhr, the Adhan was called out. Now what normally happens is everybody wants to meet the pious person. And as people began to meet him, and this is something that all of us must learn, to meet a person is to make salam and to carry on. There are 50 or 100 people behind us. Now we engage the man in an unnecessary conversation. We need to leave that for someone else. We're giving people behind us the cliff. And eventually what happens? Adhan is called out, Iqama is called out, and he joins the Jamaat after Takbir-e-Ula. After the first Takbir had been called out, when the Salat was over, those that were very close to him, they saw a change in his personality, in his character. A very happy person now seemed to be very grieved, sorrowful. So somebody asked him, what is it? Why have you become so grieved and sad? He said, my brother, for 23 years, I did not miss the Takbir-e-Ula. For 23 years, I did not miss the Takbir-e-Ula. Allah give us the tawfiq. Sometimes we in the masjid. The imam has started and we still find chit-chat. And this was his grief, this was his cry that I missed a Takbir-e-Ula after 23 years. So specific and so firm they were on the sunnah of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq. And the last Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَأَمِنَ النَّاسُ بَوَائِقَهُ, and mankind is safe from the mischief, the zulm of an individual. Now again, who are the people upon whom we make zulm? Is it not those that are closest to us, those who are the weakest amongst us, our wives, our families? We say hurtful things, we do hurtful things, sometimes we remain silent in a hurtful way, and then we say, man samata naja, that person that kept quiet is safe. But in all, our intention is to be hurtful to someone else. So we need, in this month of Ramadan, we are going to make changes. We're going to seek tawbah from Allah Ta'ala. So we need to make these very basic changes in our life. And then thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Dakhal al-Jannah, such a person has entered Jannat. Now the thing is, are we really desirous of Jannah? Did we make Jannah our aim and our objective? Did we make Jannah the priority of our life? They are simple. On previous Jummahs we spoke about 20 ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that can give us Jannah in a very simple manner. But the thing is this, we need to aspire, we need to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we need to go towards that path of Jannah. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab Rahimahumullah once said, he was standing between Masjid al-Nabawi and Jannatul Baqi. And then one person came to him and he said, Hazrat, make dua that Allah Ta'ala grant us, me and you, Jannatul Baqi. Make dua, Allah Ta'ala grant us Jannatul Baqi. So Hazrat said, I lifted my hands and I said, Bhai, if Jannatul Baqi is mine and your desire, let's ask for it now, that Allah Ta'ala give it to us right now. The person said, Hazrat, I'm not ready still. I've got a few things to fulfill. So it is like norm and practice, you know, make money in Africa, bank it in Dubai, and die in Medina. So we have to have this real yearning in every aspect of our life, that we want to give our life for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. We want this Jannat and we'll do whatever. And we are always ready to leave this world. And this is the preparation of the month of Ramadan. At the end of Ramadan, there were many of our pious and sisters used to say that this month of Ramadan is like life. It came and it is gone. So like that, it will come and it will go. And many Ramadans have come. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us safe. And Allah ta'ala create within our hearts the desire that we make a preparation for this month of Ramadan, a spiritual and ruhani preparation for the month of Ramadan. And that preparation should start now. On Sunday night will be Laylatul Bara'a. Let us make tawbah and istighfar and seek forgiveness from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this preparation should be for the ultimate preparation that we leave this world. Those amongst us who are ill and sick, in our families, in the ummah, may Allah Ta'ala grant them all shifa'i kamila jila mustamirra. Those who have whatever difficulties, may Allah Ta'ala relieve them of the difficulties. Wherever the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is plunged in difficulties, Allah Ta'ala relieve the ummah of the difficulties and may Allah Ta'ala accept all our ibadat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.